Father, we thank you for this time together we have to study your word, and we pray that we would learn and magnify your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to back to 1 John 3, and we're going to kind of go over what we've gone over so far to get us back here. First John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. So when we looked at these verses last week, we saw first how Bible translations change these verses. They first changed them to fit their own doctrines, and they change that whosoever is born of God does not practice sin, or whosoever is born of God doesn't continue in sin, and that kind of thing. And we saw that just kind of makes the whole situation worse, because it makes sin a plural thing. And I believe that the King James makes it so that it can be a singular thing, not a plural thing. Then it also makes it a problem, because if you're going to continue, it says continue in sin. What's the matter with that? We'll worry about that. Anyhow, if you're going to continue in sin, there's lots of different sins. And even if you look at 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, there's three kinds of sin, and you'll notice the pride of life. Well, pretty much everybody has a little bit too much of that pride of life. So if you're going to say continue in sin, you're going to have to get rid of that pride, or you know, you're messing yourself up even more by interpreting those verses in that way. Then after that, some other texts that seem to leave that part alone, but they also pluralize sin to sins, and again causing more problems than they solve. And it also they also all changed that to his seed remains in him. They changed that to God's seed remains in him, not his seed remains in him. And one even had a footnote there that said his, but they had changed it to God's. So now then we begin to look at the passage as it is written, and we'll see if this, that fixed it. So again, reminder, the topic of 1 John chapters 2 to 5 is learning to discern true prophets, spirits, and sons of God from liars, antichrists, seducers, deceivers, false prophets, lying spirits, the witness of men, and those who say they've seen God. So those are the different things that you're going to look for. Those being written to are the little children. They're the new believers who haven't been established in the faith yet. So they're called little children because they are the most easily deceived. And so again and again and again through the book, I think it's 12 different times, he refers to the little children. And so that's who he's talking to. So then the first verse we looked at is the verse that begins the paragraph in chapter 3, whenever we were looking at this last week. And that is verse 4. And that says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And if you remember, I made a big deal out of the word also there, because it seemed so out of place. If the definition of sin to a Jew is the transgression of the law, then why would he say whosoever committeth sin also transgresseth the law, because that's what sin is. So there has to be a reason that word also is in there. And the reason, I believe, is simple. The sin that John is speaking of isn't in the law. So what sin is that? It's the one that he repeats again and again and again in 1 John. Reject it, and you are an antichrist, and receive it, you are born of God. So this is just kind of an overview. The truth that he states throughout the book of John is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Israel's Messiah. He has come in the flesh and risen again. And that's not an exhaustive list. That's just a list I read through real quickly and jotted these verses down. Every time that Christ is referred to as the Son of God or light, or, you know, God, that, or that he died for our sins or whatever, that's the truth that John's going after here. Then the sin is rejecting that truth. And again, that's not exhaustive there. That's just some verses I wrote down that shows that when you reject what's on the left side, then that's what's happening on the right side. So that's, you could say that's the wheat on the left side and the tares on the right side. And we're just going to look at a couple of these verses. Not a whole big pile of them, but let's go to 1 John 2 and verse 22. And this is the sin. And we've read this many times so far. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Then, if you go back to 1 John 1 and look at verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there we have, you know, the Jesus Christ being presented as salvation and then as the Son of the Father. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And there's Jesus Christ the righteous. And again, that sin, I think we did go over this, but that sin is the same sin that they're confessing in 1 John 1:9. And it's also the same sin that he's talking about in 1 John 3:8-9. So it's the same, rejecting Jesus Christ is that sin, and that's the sin that they have to confess. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, who is him? Him is Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God. So these are just some of the verses. 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. 4:2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Chapter 4, verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And just one thing about that verse, a lot of times, you know, dispensationalists, we pound on the differences, you know, the differences between the church and Israel and so on. But there's a lot of similarities also. Like in this verse, God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Well, what we're always saying, you know, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live the life I now live. I live through the faith of the Son of God. So we live through him also. And there's a lot of things, and he's a propitiation for Israel's sins, but he's also the propitiation for our sins. And John even says that in another verse. He says, propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. And then John, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten him. And finally, I have a whole bunch of these, but we'll just do 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And that's, you know, I went through that again and again, that the life is in his Son. And he begins the book like that, saying that Jesus Christ is the object of salvation, and the only way you can have salvation in any dispensation is to be placed into Jesus Christ. And that only happens by faith in any dispensation. So John writes over and over that those who believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and those that believe the witness of the Spirit, those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they have eternal life. And those that reject these things are the seducers, the deceivers, the Antichrist, and so on. So let's go back to John, 1 John 3:4, where we were. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So I said that the also there, that's talking, the sin that he's talking about there is rejection of Jesus Christ. And I think that's pretty well laid out throughout the book. And why does he say that whosoever committeth sin, if that sin is rejecting Jesus Christ, why does he say that he also is also transgressing the law? Well, the idea there is that Jesus Christ is nowhere mentioned in the law of Moses or anywhere in the Old Testament. He's prophesied of and you know, told that he's going to come, but he isn't named, and they don't say, okay, this is the guy, he's going to be born, Mary's going to be his mother, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come to him, and then they're going to call his name Jesus, or Yahushua, or however you want to say it, and he's never named. So that's why he says it's also transgression of the law. And the reason it is we saw how John, we'll get a slide up there so you can just read it, but the reason that is also transgression of the law is that John says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, then we saw in Hebrews that the Father calls the Son God. So if he's the Son of God and the Son of God is God, that means that any sin against Jehovah God is a sin against Jesus Christ, and any sin against Jesus Christ is a sin against Jehovah God. Therefore, if you reject Jesus Christ, you're rejecting Jehovah God and also transgressing the law, because if you reject Jehovah God, you are transgressing the law, because he says, thou shalt have no gods before me. And he also said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. So that's why he uses that word also, because Jesus Christ, rejecting Jesus Christ is the same as rejecting Jehovah God. Then we looked at let's just turn to John, 2 John, not chapter 2, because there's no chapter 2 there. But 2 John and verse 9, we looked at this verse to see that he spells out what the sin is. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So the doctrine of Christ, what is the doctrine of Christ? And that's the sin. Whosoever transgresseth, that's the sin. So you go back up to verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So the doctrine of Christ is that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And so that identifies that sin, that singular sin that he's talking about in 1 John. So then back to 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And the conclusion I made here is that sin is singular, not plural, as it is in so many of the other translations. And the sin, again, is the rejection of Jesus Christ as their promised Messiah. These that are the whosoever is born of God have been made of a special seed which identifies them as the children of God. And we went back to Matthew 13, and we read through the parable of the wheat and the tares, and in examining the parable with those described in 1 John, I believe what's occurring in 1 John is fruition of that parable. It's you have the children of the kingdom and the children of the devil. You have the children of the children being a special seed, and also the children of the devil being made of a corrupt seed or a bad seed. You have them growing together until the harvest, and they intermingle with each other. Until then they're plucked up together to harvest and separated out. And so the thing about the wheat and the tares is whenever they first spring up and start growing, you can't tell them apart. They look exactly the same. And you can't tell them apart until they start to bear fruit. And then when you look at the fruit and you say, well, that's good fruit and that's bad fruit. And that's exactly what John is doing in 1 and 2 John. He's saying, if you see this fruit, you're going to know that this guy is of God. If you see this fruit, you're going to know that this guy is of the devil. So when he goes through and he says about loving your brother, and he says about keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ and so on, all these things, then he says, he that doeth righteous is of God, and he that doeth not righteousness is not of God. So that's the fruit you're looking for. That's what the whole thing is about. And you have the wheat and the tares both represented in these two books, 1 and 2 John. I then gave another theory that is, might be true, might be not, but that the fruit could be the 144,000 that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, because they are specifically sown by Christ. It says that by the living God, and he's the living God because he died and he lives now forever. And they get the seal of, they get his seal in their foreheads. And so I said that they could be the seed that he's talking about when he says, for their seed remaineth in them. But even if not, whatever it is that that God has done to these people, to these ministers of the truth and righteousness, he's given them a special seed that keeps them, they cannot sin. And they cannot reject him because they're sown by him, and they're sown as children of the kingdom. So those that are righteous, whose seed remains in them, will manifest the righteousness of Christ through their actions. So they'll keep the commandments of Jesus, they'll love their brother, they'll do righteous deeds, and they will be the wheat. They're different from those in the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower is the one who sows the word of God, and the seed is the word of God, which is sown, and it's sown pretty much everywhere. It's just sown throughout the whole world, on rocks, on everything. The seed here is sown into good ground, and then the enemy comes and at night and sows his seed among the good seed, and it's also in good ground, and they grow up together. That means when you're reading in 2 Peter and you're reading in Jude, you're also reading the description of these people, but you're reading the description of them on the inside, what they're like on the inside, because they're already the children of the devil. Whenever the devil sows them, they've already rejected Christ. So they're growing up among them. And in Jude and 2 Peter, whenever he talks about these horrible people, you're not going to be able to tell that they're horrible people, though. And that's why you have the book of 1 John and 2 John, because he's going to tell you how to identify them on the outside, whereas 2 Peter and Jude and so on, they're talking about what they're like on the inside. So where are we here? So I'll just read what I just said, okay? the tares are already the children of the devil when Satan sows them in among the wheat. They look like wheat for a while, but the more they're compared to the wheat, the more obvious it becomes they're not wheat, because they don't have good fruit. The wheat are always going to have the good fruit, and the tares are never going to have the good fruit. And this is exactly what the books of 1 and 2 John are teaching. Little children, the wheat looks like this. The tares look like this. Learn to differentiate between the two so that you will not be ashamed at the coming of our Lord. And you know that this is about reward. It says so in 2 John, and it also in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So, again, you're talking about rewards here and what the rewards are, because the little children already have eternal life, but they can still be swayed and they can still go after bad doctrines, and that's what John's warning of them. So if we look at 1 and 2 John as those believers in the remnant of the last days and understand the message that they're presenting is showing them the difference between what a stalk of wheat looks like, the true prophets and teachers and demonstrators of spiritual gifts, and what tares looks like, which is false prophets, antichrists, deceivers, seducers, miracle workers. And I think then that really helps to understand these books, because John's saying, look at this fruit. If this fruit, you know, if they're doing this, they're the wheat. If they're doing this, they're not the wheat. And so back in 1 John 3, he that committeth sin is of the devil, and that sin is rejecting Jesus Christ, and they're of the devil, and they already have done that whenever they're sown in among the wheat. For the devil sinneth from the beginning, and they're the devil sinned from the beginning, and he's sending these people out to do that work. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So he does not reject Jesus Christ. for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot reject Jesus Christ because he's been sown as by Jesus Christ into the good field, and he has that seed that remains in him because he is born of God. And this is how they're manifested. Again, this is how the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Again, there's that fruit. If you see this fruit, they're of God. If you see this fruit, they're of the devil. So when you understand that in 1 John 1, the wheat and the fruit they have borne so far will be confessing the sins of their fathers. So back in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So when you understand that the wheat and the fruit that they have borne so far, they're going to be confessing that, yes, we've been rejecting Jesus Christ, but now we accept him. And that's the sin that they're going to be confessing. And when he says we confess our sins, well, the sins are also the sins of the fathers. The sins that are mentioned back, we went back to Leviticus and 2 Chronicles and saw the sins of the fathers. You have to confess the sins of the fathers and to get the blessing in the land. And the blessing they're looking for is the blessing of the kingdom. I think that helps to understand what confessing their sins means. It's never about soul salvation. Then look at 1 John 5:16. If you want to see an example of confessing sins and why that's not about soul salvation, 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. So here, have you ever heard of anybody that like I just saw Bob do a sin. I'm gonna pray and God's gonna forgive him that sin. Well, how does that work? Well, it's he's not forgiving it because that sin's already been forgiven in Jesus Christ. That's the way he's forgiving it is for the blessing of the land. That you can't take these sins into the land, but you have to have them all forgiven. And they are forgiven in Christ, but physically, when you're going into the physical world of the kingdom, those sins have to be forgiven. The sins of the fathers and all the sins of Israel have to be forgiven, and that's what he's talking about there. He's going to give him life, and what's that life? That life is in that kingdom, and so he's not going to be scattered out among the Gentiles. He's going to be in that kingdom, and that's what he's talking about there. And so that's what the confession is all about in 1 John 1. Confession of national sins for the forgiveness of national sins and the blessings of the kingdom. And it's also the same as in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So again, the sin here is the same as part of the sins in chapter 1, and that sin is the rejection of Christ. I write unto you that you sin not. You do not want to reject Jesus Christ. If any man sin, so if any man rejects Jesus Christ, still we as the church, the kingdom church, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ. So you see the difference in the pronouns there. If any man sin, we have an advocate. The church has an advocate with Jesus Christ, the righteous. So it's still going to be possible for the little children to reject Christ. They can still be deceived. They can still fall away, as do the seeds that were sown on the rock in the parable of the sower. They believe for a while, but in a time of temptation, they fall away. And John is telling them how to identify their tempters and how to identify the true teachers and who are the tares and who are the wheat. And again, in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you, but he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Once again, he's talking about the wheat. That's the fruit. You're looking at the fruit. And if he's doing righteous, then he's of God. If he's not doing righteousness, he's not of God. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Here he's talking about the tares. And how do we know that that's the case? In 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So he's talking about the manifestation of them. He's talking about when they're bearing fruit, this is the fruit you're looking for. If they sin, if they reject Christ, they're not of God. If they don't sin, if they don't reject Christ, then they are of God. And this is how you're going to know who is who. And then back in Matthew 13, and verse 38. So the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. If you want to know how to tell them apart, you read 1st and 2nd John. And that's what it's all about. If you only read Jude and 2nd Peter to know who they are, you would only see what they're like on the inside. You have to read 1st and 2nd John to see what they're going to be like on the outside. And you pick up the subtle indicators that they're not of the wheat, but they are of the tares. Now, I said last week that we would look at some other interpretations of how other people look at 1 John 3:8-9. So we'll just take a few minutes here and look at what other people say about it. We always make a big deal about our position or standing in Jesus Christ as opposed to the actions of the flesh. So like in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, he kind of lists all the sins that are being committed within the Corinthian church, and he says, and such were some of you. So we see that they're committing these sins, but their standing isn't in those sins. So we talk a lot about the standing, and a lot of people say that's what John's talking about. Those in Christ cannot sin because they're in Christ. And so if you look at 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So he says, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and then he says, ye shall abide in him. Then in the next verse it says, and now little children abide in him. So you can see the difference there. There is a difference between your standing and your actions. And so people will take that and they'll say, so see, he's talking about the new man versus the old man. The new man cannot sin. And that's what they believe. That seems kind of reasonable until you look at the context, because John never exhorts these people that are sinning to forsake their sins, and he never says, you know, he never says, look at these people, you should go to these people, you should talk to them, you should try to be a witness to them. He just flat out rejects them and says, they're the devil, forget them, go away from them. And if it was just a new man, old man thing, then it would, you would think that all the many mentions of love that John does throughout the book of 1 John, you would think that he would say, if you're going to love your brother, you have to also tell him, you know, change your ways and accept Christ and so on. But he never says that. He just says, they're the devil, stay away from them. And so I don't think that new man, old man really holds water.